Dear friends, today we're going to talk about friendship. You know, some people are very scared of friendship. They are perhaps, they've heard a rumor about who a person is, and they stay away from friendship altogether. There's an African folktale that talks about this. The story is about a snake and a frog, and why snakes and frogs are no longer friends anymore. One day, a snake and a frog, I wanted to share it with you as we begin here this morning. One day, a snake and a frog were playing very early in the morning out in the brush. And they were getting along really well, and they were developed a friendship with just a few hours together. And the frog said to the snake, I can teach you how to jump up and down and hop. Do you want to learn? And the snake said, yeah, I'd like to learn how to do that. And the snake started to jump up and down. Then the snake said to the frog, well, I can teach you something and give you more joy in life. I can teach you to slither on your belly, and you can go up trees. Watch what I do. And the frog learned how to slither on its belly and go up a tree. It was great. The afternoon or the morning ended, and the snake and the frog went home to have lunch. The snake or the frog went home first, and this frog said to its mother, I can do something new, Mom. I can slither on my belly and go up the tree. And the frog's mother said, where did you learn to do that? The frog said, the snake taught me. The mother said, never go near the snake. The snake family is very dangerous and has been so for many years. Never have anything to do ever again with the snake. Meanwhile, while that happened at the frog family, the snake family was gathering for lunch, and the snake came home and said, Mom, I learned how to hop up and down. And the mother snake said, well, where did you learn how to jump up and down? The snake said, the frog taught me. And the mother said, we don't have anything to do with the frog family. They're dangerous people. The next time that you see a frog, catch it and bring it back so that we can have dinner. Never again did the frog and the snake ever, never again were they friends ever. And that's a folk tale in Africa. But the way that story ends is actually the frog and the snake never joined together again, but they oftentimes sat in the afternoon warming themselves under the sun alone, thinking about their 1 or 2 hours of friendship with the other. Being scared of friends. You know, there's a lot of people that are kind of scared of friends. You might hear a whisper in Philomath, maybe. Hey, did you hear about the Smiths over on the other side of town? They're a little dangerous. Have you heard about their history? Hey, have you heard about, man, the Holestos over on the other side of town? Oh, man, no. No one would say that. But whispers. Being scared of friends. There's a little bit of fear there with that, that if we become friends, then we'll take on their bad attributes and we'll become like them. And so what our culture teaches today is be an acquaintance, kind of get to know them. Yeah, you can do that. Oh, it's okay to be Facebook friends. That's okay. But friends, deep friendship, stay away from that. Don't be accountable. Don't be available. Don't care for them. Don't be friends. If a friend is, the thought is if a friend's messy, maybe by friending them, you might become messy. If they're outrageous and they talk too much, maybe you might start talking too much. If they're Duck fans, man, how terrible would that be? You might begin rooting for the Ducks when football season comes. So a lot of people are scared of friends. You take on their bad attributes. Stay away. Don't make friends. Now, here's another thing that people like to do. So we have some people that are scared of making friends and stay away. And this one hits us a little more home. Many people today are indifferent. They don't think they need friends. They're not necessary. They're secondary in importance. C.S. Lewis talks about this. One of his famous books is The Five Great Loves. When C.S. Lewis writes this book, he says, the one love that is forgotten and pushed to the very bottom is friendship. Most people view it as unnecessary. It's not all that important. C.S. Lewis actually writes that friendship is the most important love of all, but it's pushed to the bottom. You know, isn't it true? C.S. Lewis goes on to say there are reasons why we push it down to the bottom. We're busy, aren't we? We're busy with our schedules. We have things to do. We have appointments to go to. We have responsibilities and those honey to-do lists that we're told that have to get done by the end of the week. We have our families, don't we? If we're going to invest in any relationship and give a lot of ourselves, it's got to be to our loved ones, the ones that we live with. Friends, that's a deliberate choice that takes a long time to develop. This is our culture today. It says, be scared of making friends. It's not so necessary. Stay away. And do you see what's happening today? We live in an age of loneliness. We live in an age in which it's hard to find friends. 40% of people today say that they're lonely throughout the year. Most people now say that they don't even have one person that they can talk to about anything significant. Friendship. Wow. Well, the book of Proverbs critiques today's world. The book of Proverbs isn't just about making right choices or wrong choices. The book of Proverbs is about making the best priorities in our life. Maybe having 6 options and making the best choice. And the book of Proverbs says this, 8 centuries before Jesus it was written, maybe 7 centuries. The book of Proverbs says that perhaps the greatest thing that we can choose to do is to make friends with somebody else. I could list a whole bunch of passages from the book of Proverbs, but I just chose 3. I really like what Brad said. Think about what it means to be a good friend. I chose 3 qualities here. They're found in the book of Proverbs that I want to highlight here this morning. Friendship is not surface level. It's not Facebook friends. That's not the book of Proverbs. It's saying that's not friendship. Proverbs says friends are available. Here's a passage. A friend sticks closer than a brother. What does that say? What that is saying is our siblings, we don't choose our siblings, right? We wish we could, but we're just stuck with our siblings, aren't we? They're with us during difficult times. That's the way siblings work. See, a friend is there all the time by choice, a conscious choice to be there, available. Isn't that true? Friends, Proverbs says, are careful. Proverbs 25, verse 20 says this, whoever sings songs, in other words, uplifting songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day. A friend doesn't do that. A friend knows the emotional connection with the person they're connected with, and they know just the right thing to say at the right time, and they know what not to say to their friend. They're very careful. Finally, a friend is someone who is accountable. They're willing to say a hard thing. Listen to this proverb here. Proverbs 27, verse 6. This is the King James Version. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes a close friend has to say something that hurts us. But they take on the hurt too because they love us and they want to see us grow. The most that we see, a Facebook friend can't do that. Just offers off a couple of sentences. A deep friend loves you so much, they take on the pain and they say something that might hurt, but they want to see you grow better. So here's the tension we live in. Our world today says, friendship, don't invest in it. Of all the loves, it's not that important. Proverbs says, it's perhaps the wisest thing you do. Make friends. So what do we do? How does this work? Do we live in the world or do we live by Proverbs? God gives us an answer. God steps into this tension. You know what God did? God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was in a perfect relationship and friendship. Our Lutheran teaching says that there's nothing the Father did that the Son and Holy Spirit didn't know about. There's nothing the Holy Spirit did that the Father and the Son didn't know about. But what happens is this perfect relationship is broken when Jesus comes down to earth. And he's abandoned by the Father. He says on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus leaves the perfect friendship to become a friend to you. You have a friend in Jesus. When he came, he said, I no longer call you my servants. What does he say? I call you my, friends. Jesus made himself available. Wherever I am, wherever two or three are gathered, I'm with you. Jesus cares. Come upon me, you who are weak and weary, I will give you rest. Jesus came so that you could experience and have friendships with God, but then so that you could have friendships with other people that are completely different than you, ideologically, politically, socioeconomically, you name it. That's Christian friendship, is when you can have the common bond with Jesus and you can be friends with someone. I got a picture up here. You're probably wondering, my goodness, we've got a crazy pastor. You probably already knew that. So this is a picture of Frankenstein. This is one of my favorite movies, Frankenstein. Frankenstein, this is from the movie Young Frankenstein. It is perhaps one of the greatest movies about friendship ever made. The story is about a mad scientist, Gene Wilder, who creates Frankenstein, and he's got a bolt coming out of his neck, and he's got a scar across his head. It's Peter Boyle, and he's really tall. He looks gangly. No one in the village wants to be friends with Frankenstein, right? He's crazy. In fact, the villagers come, and they want to burn him at the stake, right? But then across the town, there's another man who's praying, a blind man, who doesn't have any friends. No one will befriend the blind man. And at a weird point in the movie, Frankenstein stumbles and he doesn't have any friends. Frankenstein says this, alone bad, friend good. And he stumbles into the blind man's house, and just by chance, they reach out hands and they become friends. And they smoke a cigar. It's awesome. You know, you can see it in this. I didn't get a great picture of this, but in the movie, if you see it, Mel Brooks, I think he was the producer, he puts the camera on a cross on the wall after they become friends. You can see it up in the picture, actually, in the background. There's a cross on the wall. In the movie, actually, it gives a close-up of the cross. Now, I don't know if Mel Brooks is a Christian, but I think he was saying this. With God, two people that are the exact opposites, through Jesus, can become close friends. With God, two people that could see the flaw in another all of a sudden become blind and become friends. Dear friends at Peace, perhaps one of the greatest things we do here at Peace is this. We foster friendship. I hear it all the time. I love it. Two people go to an Oregon State Beaver women's game. They watch the games together. Two people go on long trips together. They enjoy companionship. We have friends in this congregation that have been, we have people that have been friends for over 50 years, 60 years with one another. That is a beautiful thing. And as we close out our Sunday school year, I want to highlight this thing, one little spiritual exercise to do this summer. Who is someone that you want to be friends with at Peace? What can you do? 5-minute conversation, get to know them a little bit better. But then this, who is someone that you can be a friend to in the church? May take 5 minutes, may take 10 minutes after service, but we want to foster friendship in our church. We heard it a couple months ago in Joining Jesus with His Mission and Greg Finke's book, and here was the quote that he laid out there that I'll never forget. He said this, Jesus can do more with two people that talk together and become friends than two people who successfully ignore each other. Jesus wants us to be friends. It's how he works in his church. God is at work building friendship here at Peace. Let's continue to do that like we have in the past. Amen. Now we continue with a special song this morning, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.